Live from the University of Pretoria, this is Tux FM.
Now, if you remember how we started off the show with Speak It Into Existence, I was like, listen, good sis might have an out-of-body experience or something like that. It's happening. It is happening. It's here. It's now. Told you, we're going to have a special guest, and he is here, ladies and gentlemen, all our non-binary friends as well. We are joined by none other than Rico Love. So if you hear a little shakiness in your good sis's voice, just know, in the presence of greatness, I'm trying to handle, okay? But I'll get through it. How you doing?
I'm so good. You're really good at this.
Oh my goodness. There it goes. There it goes. I'm done. Thanks for coming. The show's over. We're automating now. Thank you. That really does mean a lot. You honestly are one of the greats.
Like, oh, thank you.
You know, it was one of those things where when I was told, I was like, listen now, why are you joking with me? It's not funny. It's not April Fool's. Why are you making these jokes? But we really, really are, you know, very honored to be in your presence. And we want to jump straight into it. So, you know, as the stalker that I am, and it's okay, like, you know, no, I did a little bit of research, you know, been following you for a while, and now your first, like, ever really big song that you wrote was Throwback for Usher,
yes,
right?
Yes,
that was on the 2004 album Confessions, and it's like, after that, here you are, things just took off, and I want to ask, off that, do you believe in the term of an overnight success? Do you think that's actually real? Because a lot of people have come forth and said, you know, takes 10 years to be an overnight success. Do you think that's true?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no such thing as an overnight success. Anybody can, you know, shoot a half-court shot blindfold and make it, you know?
Hectic.
That's just luck. But if you become a success, that means you put in time, you put in work, and you study your craft, and you really dedicate it and obsessed over winning and obsessed over your craft to the point where you didn't mind losing for a long amount of time, or what people would perceive as losing. So, is there such thing as overnight success? No. There's such thing as, you know, overnight stardom.
Ooh.
You know? But you could become famous for the wrong things.
That's
so
true.
So, but as far as being a success, somebody being able to admire what you do and admire and study and understand your greatness, nah, that takes time.
And I think one of the things for me that, as you said, you know, you're a success and admiring what you do is how versatile you really are. Because, I mean, we've seen you on, like, hectic rap tracks. I mean, you know, you on What About the Rest of Us, that one with Joey Badass. The Southpaw soundtrack.
Southpaw soundtrack.
Love that. And then you also see you, like, with the super R&B guys. It's Usher, it's Beyonce. And I don't know, is there a difference, you know, when you work with the heavy rappers versus, like, the more smoother sounds?
To me, it's just music, you know? It's like this. If you play sports, you're obligated to know the whole entire field and understand each position and do what you do. So anytime I'm in the studio, I'm just having fun and I'm creating from my heart and I'm trying to speak the language of the person I'm in the room with and understand how to, you know, involve everybody musically and do things that I love, you know? So it's not really one is more difficult than the other. It's just about having fun and making records.
Loyal to the music. This is Tux FM.
This one is called Fight For You. It's by Rico Love. And we have him live in studio with us. I'm starting to calm down, okay? Things are starting to get natural. Not that they'll ever be completely natural, but I think I'm holding it down, yeah?
Same,
yes,
same.
Yes.
Like you can't hear So I'm doing well. Now, you've just spoken about, you know, the creative process and just like how you say it's all about the music. And we're speaking off air, you know, Monet's asking, like, how do you pick what goes on your record? And your creative process, I think, is something unique that even a lot of talented artists can't do. And you say, and in my stalking, you know, in my stalking ways, found out that you actually say you learned your technique from the group Jagged Edge.
Yes.
Please just walk us through that technique.
Wow,
what is your
crazy
creative process like?
You do know your stuff. So basically, I sat under Brandon and Brian Casey, the twins from Jagged Edge, and they just kind of would pace the room, hear a chord progression, hear a track, and go in the booth and just sing the first thing that come to their mind. And I kind of did that. And I would like to say humbly, I think I took it a little bit a step further.
True.
But I think that when you...
Facts are facts, yeah.
But when you learn from somebody, it's your obligation to take it further than they took it.
Yeah.
If not, then the teacher didn't do their job. Because if you're not better than the teacher, then, you know,
the struggles to get there, so you need to take
exactly.
it to the
you
next
You kind of climb on their back and just kind of... It makes you stand a little bit taller than them. But what I'm able to do is just hear... Inside of the chords, I can hear words, and it's kind of weird to
when
you think about it.
Yes,
it's definitely superpowers. No, but literally, if I hear a progression, I can hear the words dancing inside of the progression. So, as where most people are sitting there trying to figure it out, I can hear it. And it's almost scary. If you were inside of my head, you would hear what I'm saying. But I can hear the words, and it's almost like the boom, 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 boom. I can hear the chords, but I can hear the word inside of them.
He just writes a song here.
And then I learned that from watching Brandon and Brian and their technique. And anybody who doesn't know, which I'm sure your listeners are well-versed in R&B music, mm-hmm. but Jagged Edge is like one of the greatest R&B 100%. Groups of my time and my generation growing up. And I had the incredible opportunity of being able to sit under them for many years and watch and study their technique, which is the beginning of my career. I knew them before I met Usher.
Hectic.
And I learned so much from them, and I kind of like piggybacked off of their style.
Yeah.
And also Biggie. Biggie being the person who didn't write a bunch of records there, and, you know, learning from him. And Mace was one of my biggest mentors. He raised me in this business. So being able to watch those guys and watch and learn from Biggie as far as being a fan from afar, but being able to learn from Mace up close and understand the technique, it kind of taught me how to do what I do.
Yeah, and you speak a lot about, you know, this learning thing and teaching and being a student. Mm-hmm. And you're actually in the in-country for the We Love Music Conference,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And that basically aims to discover and engage and, you know, learn with various players in the music community and just how to maneuver through the industry. Now, what inspired you to, you know, get involved in this? And why do you think that learning experience is so important?
I believe that I went through a very, very tough time few years ago, and I believe that whenever you're lacking, give. Whatever you need, give. If you're lacking time, give time. If you're lacking food, give food. If you're lacking money, give money. If you're lacking anything, experience, then you should give and lend your experience to others. And I believe that people like to call it the universe. I like to call him by his real name, is God. And basically,
hallelujah.
If he sees that you're not selfish with the gift he gave you, he'll give you more of it, and he'll give you more resources. Yeah, more resources to be able to do what you need to do with your gift. So with the We Love Music Conference, I found myself in a situation where I needed, and instead of taking, I said, in the time of need, I want to give. So I gave, and it made room for me, and it opened up doors for me. So I get the esteemed pleasure to being able to teach what I know to people who are just as passionate as me, who are just as talented, if not more talented than me, but just need somebody who's inside of the business to tell them, like, wow, you're incredible. And sometimes you just need to tell somebody that. Sometimes it takes for somebody who's done it to say, you're really good, for some people to believe it. Some of us have been told no so many times that we just need a real big hug and a yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that with the We Love Music Conference, and I'm passionate about it. It's brought me to Africa, and that's such a blessing to be able to know that my gift brought me to the greatest continent on earth, and I'm able to come here and, you know, seriously, I'm able to come here and share my wisdom and my knowledge with people who are eager and passionate, because you guys are so extreme and in a great way, and you're just so passionate and serious about it, motivated, fired up, and that, to me, to a teacher, is everything.
My music, my life, my Tax FM.
Now, this song that we've just played by some of the biggest South African artists, and you know, we have them in here all the time and they speak to us and whatever, but there's still that sense of a lot of local artists want to be on the other side. They want to come to the States and they think like that's when you can make it big and that's when you can have an impact. And I want to know from you, is the grass actually greener on the other side? Or are there some things that, you know, you being here and having been here before, that you're actually like, listen, the South African music scene has this going on, why are you trying to move so quickly?
It's pretty green, I'm not gonna lie. but I will say this, the level of creativity here, and the freedom to create, and the heritage and the roots and the way that you guys manipulate sonics in such an incredible way, I think that it's something to be studied and to be reveled by the entire world. So why limit yourself to just Africa when you have such ability? Like you're meant for the world to see you. It's such a deep history and culture here, and we borrow from everything Africa anyway, you know. What is EDM, what is house, what is all of that without Africa, you know? What is twerking, what is any of that?
Did we invent twerking?
yes you actually did. But when you listen to Michael, you know, you listen to Michael Jackson, and what he was the first, I think, artist, Michael, and I think the Police, you know, with Sting, I think they were the first artists I felt like who borrowed from Africa in such an avant-garde way.
Yeah.
And they definitely took advantage of the sound, especially on the Bad album and especially on the Smooth Criminal and the undertones of it. It was just so much history and culture in it. So, yeah, the grass is green over there because we make a lot more money, right?
Yeah.
But it's still not perfect, and you guys are definitely the fathers and mothers of music, and the world should know that, and you should get your credit for it, so why not go for it? If you want to come to America or come around the world with your talent, don't make it about the money. Make it about, like, look, we're the pioneers, and you need to know that. That would be my approach.
The one thing that I think we've just managed to pioneer and keep to ourselves is South African slang. So, if you don't mind, we're going to play a little bit of a game with you, okay? We're going to see how much South African slang you know. So, I'm going to give you a South African term.
Okay.
And I want to see if you could give me the American equivalent, or just like the general equivalent. Okay.
Okay.
So, the first one, if I say I'm going to the Joel, what does that mean?
Going to the Joel.
What do you think it means?
Sounds like a bathroom or something.
Actually, complete opposite. Going to the Joel is like going out to the club, going to a party.
Oh, okay.
You know, going to
the Joel.
We also refer to it as groove, you know, going to groove.
To the groove. Okay. If you said groove, I would have known that for sure.
Okay, maybe you'll get the next one. The word lacquer, is that a good thing or a bad thing? If I say, yo, dude, this is lacquer.
It's a bad thing.
It's a good thing.
It's like the best thing in the world.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
Being here with you is so lucky.
Yeah.
He said it's like the best thing in the world.
Yeah, it is.
There's a food that is very authentically South African, and there's an American equivalent. This food is called biltong. What is the American equivalent of biltong?
Biltong.
Spell it.
B-I-L-T-O-N-G. That's how you spell it. Biltong.
It's a snack also.
Yeah, it's a snack.
I had biltong this morning.
It's a meat snack.
No lie.
It's meat.
Sausage.
Not sausage.
Beef jerky?
Jerky! Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, also another food. We've got two more left. Another food, slop chips. Okay, what are slop chips? It's also a food.
Chips, potato chips.
Yeah, like no. Oh, do you mean the ones in a bag?
No, not like crisp, like fries.
Yeah, yes. French fries. Yeah. Okay.
Crisp are the ones in a bag.
Yeah, true. Last one goes according to time, okay? If I say I'm gonna be there now, is that like
That's American. That's now means like, yo, I'm there fast, quickly.
Now for us, that's kinda like listen.
I'll be there now.
Like now.
So let me tell you why. Because in America there's a new thing where you say the word twice. It's like, I'm hungry.
Okay.
Like, it's hot.
She said, "Oh, you rich, rich."
Exactly.
Right.
So it's a guy named Haha Davis. Who kind of coined that thing. I mean, it's something that we've been saying for years, but he kind of resurfaced it. And it's something that, you know, urban slang, like it's hot. It's cold.
Hot.
All right. So ours is, it's the opposite. Kind of like now is
like,
later.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, calm down.
Yeah.
One last question. So happy to have you here. And it's been an absolutely amazing interview. I've learned so much. And I know everyone out there listening has learned so much. So now I'm going to be selfish. I'm asking this question for me. Everyone else, if you want to turn off, okay? And in my research and in my stalking, found out you've helped produce quite a few of Beyonce's tracks, right? Now, I'm known around the station for, I'm like the captain of the Beehive. Like, say something about Mama B,
and
we gonna throw hats.
Yeah.
Like, things are gonna go down. So I just have one question, very simple. What is she like?
You know what? She's seriously one of the nicest people.
Told you.
Ever.
And listen,
you know how you meet people and they like have to be nice and they posture.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's genuinely a sweetheart. And
authentic.
She defends. We were talking about, we went to go see the Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige show. So the next day we were in the studio with Beyonce again and we were like, yo, why was Mary J. Blige sliding all over the stage? Like, she seemed like she was going to slip and fall. And Beyonce went out of her way to explain to us, like, no, she didn't have the stump studs on her shoes.
My word.
And we wear these rubber studs, and this is how you stop. And you have to understand. And she was really, I mean, not like we were insulting Mary.
Yeah.
We were young guys. We didn't know. And she really went out of her way to defend Mary. And I really thought that was like, I admired that. I'm like, wow,
that's my
she's
mama.
this Beyonce. She doesn't have to do that. So She's a sweetheart. She's very serious about her business, but she's so kind. She was late because of her flight circling around because of the bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
And she apologized like 6-7 times. And she was like, I'm so sorry. And, you know, to be Beyonce, I think it's okay to be late. But for her, she didn't accept that for herself. And I think that that's admirable to be that big of an artist and still have the wherewithal, the kindness, or the goodness in heart to say, I'm sorry I was late, you know? And it goes a long way. But first of all, I just want to say this before we go.
Yeah.
You guys are incredible.
Thank you.
And this show is incredible.
Thank you.
And the energy and the chemistry is great. And I just really would love for you guys to join me this week for Soweto Jazz Festival. If you guys would be my guests personally.
Oh, my goodness.
We can hang out, have a good time. I'm going to give you guys some tickets. Hopefully we can give
exams
away.
Exams are canceled.
Can we give some free tickets away to people? On?
Of course
so
we
let's,
can.
We're going to give you guys, 25? We're going to give you guys 25 tickets.
Oh, my goodness.
On me.
Oh, wow.
On me, and you guys give away. But this is my only rule.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to give away these tickets, they must come to the Jazz Festival.
Naturally. Where
I don't want to give the tickets away, and people are like, oh, I couldn't make it. I want only serious people because I want to get to know you guys, and I really want to hang out, understand the culture. Mm-hmm. This festival is incredible, and I feel like it's something that's going to be growing and growing and growing, and we want you all who are the culture, who are the pulse, who are the youth to grow with it and help us with this, because this is an incredible opportunity for us all. So you be very proud of yourselves and what you guys are doing here, because I'm impressed. Like, this is like high level radio work here, you know.
Thank
what I mean?
You.
Thank you.
So much. So much. Thank you, Rico, for coming through. It's honestly one of the greatest experiences of our lives.
Yes.
I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've had interviews, and you know, you've also just taught us so much, and we've learned so much. So excited. We'll see you at the Jazz Festival.
Hey.
Exams are canceled.
Yeah. Ladies
and
gentlemen,
if you're still writing, sorry for you. But that's that. We've spoken to Rico Love. Hope you enjoyed it. And technically, because he's met Beyonce, we've met Beyonce, so let's just leave it on that.
Well.
This is Our Identity. This is Tax FM.